as I was looking forward to this particular day, I chose to take a break from the book of John to focus specifically on the Lord's table today and on our communion time together and the importance that it has for all of us today, especially as it relates to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ and who He is and what He has done for us. As a matter of fact, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, that as we partake of this bread, it represents His body. As we partake of this cup, it represents His blood shed for us. And we're told, and we know this because we've gone over this time and time again, that as we partake of this, we are to do this in remembrance of Him. In remembrance of what He has done for each and every one of us by giving His body, by shedding His blood. And one of the things that we are called to remember is that His body and His blood, the body of Jesus Christ, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, is central to the gospel message. It is central to the truth about who Jesus is. It's central to the message that we are to share with a lost and dying world. Jesus gave His body. Jesus shed His blood. And He did it for the atonement, for the forgiveness of our sins. This is the gospel message. And by the way, it is a message of incredible love. And it is also a message of blood. That's why I chose to title this message, "The Love and Blood of the Gospel." Because it is a message of love. But it is also a message of sacrifice and violence. And in that message of love, and in that message of blood and violence, there is power. As a matter of fact, Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation." It is a message of love and sacrifice and violence that is able, as 2 Timothy 3:15 says, able to make one wise unto salvation. That's how important this message is. That's how important it is when we come to this table. It is a message of love. It is a message of violence, of blood. That's why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." It is an incredible message of love. And how was that love best expressed? Through the giving of His Son in a very violent, bloody death. And it was done for the punishment of your sins and mine. That's why He did that. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us." And sin has to be punished. And Christ took upon Himself all of our sin, and God poured out all of His wrath on that sin, on His Son on the cross. That's why Isaiah 53:5 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we were healed." It's a message of love. It is a message of violence and blood. That's why 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." You see, there is a bloodiness and there is a violence because of the love of God that presents itself in the gospel message that we are to share. It is a gospel of forgiveness that we don't often consider when we come to this table. Sure, we say this cup represents His blood. But do we really take the time to think about what that actually means and what He went through to make that possible representation for us to partake of here this morning? Most of the times we don't. Jesus himself said in Matthew 26:28, as he began to institute this Lord's table, as he began to have that communion time with his disciples, he was changing the entire meaning of the bread and the cup. It used to mean their bondage in Egypt and their escape from there. Now Jesus is saying, I am changing the meaning of all of that. So he says to them in Matthew 26:28, for this is, as he takes the cup, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus says, this cup is going to represent what I am about to do for you. I am about to shed my blood in a most profound way to remind you that you have been delivered not from Egypt, but from the bondage of sin and death. It's a new covenant. The old covenant is when a person would take an animal to the priest and the priest would slit its throat. It's a new covenant where somebody would offer a different kind of animal, either as a family or as a group or to the priest in the temple, and those animals would be sacrificed and it would be a bloodbath. Jesus says there's something new. It's a new covenant that I am shedding in my blood, and it's once and for all. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:2 that the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ sets us apart. It's a violent, bloody, loving message of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ for all of us. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, it says that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Do you realize the implications of that in the life of Christ? If you go back to Exodus chapter 12 and you read about what a Passover sacrifice was, that was the institution of the Passover meal, wasn't it? And you remember what they had to do? They had to take a lamb without spot or blemish, a perfect lamb, and bring it into their house, and for 4 days they would love that animal as one of their own. And then at the end of that 4 days, they would slit the throat of that animal, and they would take that blood and they would put it into something, and they would dip the hyssop into that blood, and they would put it all over the doorposts. Do you remember that? And why did they do that? So the death angel would pass over them. That's why it was called the Passover. If you had the blood of the sinless lamb, the spotless lamb on your doorposts, the death angel would pass over you and you would not be held in judgment. And Paul says, Christ is our Passover who was sacrificed for us. And then you get to the book of John, as we've already seen in John 1:29. John sees Jesus Christ coming, and what does he say? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And how did he do that? By the shedding of his own blood. That's why 1 Peter 1:18 says, we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what Christ did for us. That's the gospel message of love and blood that we are called to share with a lost and dying world, that we are called to remember as we come to this table this morning. So when we talk about the gospel, the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins, we're talking about an incredible act of love by God. And we're also talking about an incredible act of violence done to one man, done on our behalf. Sometimes that's hard to take. Sometimes that's hard to understand. Especially for us who live in such a sterile environment today, don't we? Boy, we have hand sanitizers, we have cleansers for our floor, for our ceilings, for our bodies, for our hair, for everything. We don't want to have anything to do with blood. Boy, we would not go over very well living in biblical times. When they had to take an animal and slit its throat and spread that blood everywhere, and the priest would spread it on the people. They lived in a very bloody time. But all of that was pointing to that ultimate shedding of blood by the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. We don't understand that today. It's foreign to us, and it is really foreign to the unbelievers of our time. That's why Paul says that the message of Christ shedding His blood, the bloodiness of the love of God, is foolishness. Isn't it? 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God." We recognize that. We recognize the shedding of the blood and the love that went behind that and the atoning sacrifice of the sin and the shedding of all of that blood. We recognize that that's the power of God that can save a soul, that can transform somebody from sin and death to life and everlasting life. We understand that. The world doesn't understand that. To them, it is foolishness. To us, it's the power of God. The message of the cross. What is that message? We know it. Christ was arrested in the garden. He knew all this was going to take place. And He willingly submitted Himself to that, didn't He? He said, "I could call a whole legion of angels right now and take care of all of this. But this is God's plan for my life. I'm going to submit to God's will." So they arrested Him. They brought Him before mock trials. Then they decided to wrap a towel around His face and they began to beat Him and say, "Prophesy, Jesus, who is it that's doing this?" Of course, He knew exactly who it was. Then they started plucking out His beard as the Old Testament psalmist said they would. They were spitting on Him. They put a crown of thorns on His head. They whipped Him 39 times. This is the message of the cross. The bloody message. The message of love. And the message of blood. And the message of violence. That the world needs to hear even today. And they take Him outside the gate. And they do. They nail Him to a cross. Putting nails in His hands and His feet. And then they raise that cross. And there He is bleeding to death. That's the love and the blood of the gospel message. To us who are believing, it is the power of God unto salvation. To the rest of the world, it is foolishness. But we still proclaim that message, don't we? Because there is no other message to proclaim. That is the truth of the gospel that somebody needs to hear. And by the very love and blood of that gospel message, you know what God did? God revealed His absolute holiness and His righteousness in the fact that He was willing to do what He did. But I want you to know something else. In that act of love and blood on the cross, He is also revealing our absolute defiling sin that nailed Jesus Christ to that cross, and our inability to escape the consequences of that. So those consequences were poured out on His own Son. That's why some people, even today, find the sacrificial, atoning, violent, bloody death of Jesus Christ so revolting. Because it's a death that you and I deserved, is it not? And in light of the cross, and in light of the love of God, and in light of the bloody violence that happened as a result of all of that, we cannot, as we look at that, and as we remember this morning, we cannot help but look at the own defilement of our own sin that caused God to send His own Son, who was sinless, to that cross in our place. And when you come to Christ in salvation and you experience the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, that ought to cause your heart to truly remember what Christ has done for you as we approach this table. He gave His body, He gave His blood, and He says, do this in remembrance of Me. Let's not water it down. It was a very violent and bloody atoning death that He was willing to die for you and me. Think about it this way. Wouldn't you be righteously angry at somebody who came along and would murder your father or your mother or your brother or your sister or your wife or your husband? How much more righteously angry should we all be at our own sin that nailed the Son of Glory to the cross, that murdered Jesus? How much greater should our love, how much greater should our remembrance be for Him whom the Scriptures say we are to love more than father or mother, more than brother and sister, more than son or daughter? We should be disgusted at the death of Jesus Christ because it is a vivid reminder about the ugliness of all of us and our sin that nailed Him there. We don't often approach the table that way, do we? But at the same time, as we come to remember, we remember that it is a time of love, and it is a time of blood of the gospel that is one of beauty and one of hope and one of forgiveness, isn't it? Jesus went to the cross willingly, and He suffered, and He bled, and He died a violent death. But the beauty of that is that He did that for us, didn't He? For God so loved you that He was willing to give His only begotten Son in such a violent, horrible way to have your sins forgiven. That's why Hebrews 9:26 says, He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. That's what Christ did in His love and in the bloody violence of His death, because He loves us so much that He was willing to do that. And by the way, Hebrews 9:22 says that without the shedding of blood, what? There can be no forgiveness. If Christ did not shed His blood in a violent death, then you and I could never receive forgiveness. Think about it this way. An animal had to be sacrificed to clothe Adam and Eve, to cover their nakedness. And from that point on, you see all of the animal sacrifices taking place year after year, leading up to the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. And that was the final sacrifice that needed to be made. No more had to be made after that. But all through that time, the blood of the bulls and the goats and the pigeons and all of these animals that had their throats slit and the blood splattered everywhere was all pointing to one very violent, bloody death. And that's the one of Jesus Christ. Isn't it a good thing there is children's church today? Probably have nightmares tonight. Just thought about that. Sorry about that. But if you think about that, all of that was leading up to the one final sacrifice that once for all was sufficient for all people for all times. Yes, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is a revulsion, and there should be, as we look at our own sin. And yet there's a beauty in that, and we look at our own sin that has been forgiven because it was nailed to the cross by Jesus Christ who died for all of our sins. That's why that passage I read to you earlier in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but God demonstrated His own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, listen to this, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Justified means to be declared righteous before God. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His shed blood that cleanses you from all of your sin, you are declared righteous before God. That means you have a right standing before God, because as an unbeliever, you don't have a right standing before God. As Mike read earlier, you are an enemy of God. And it's only through the peace of the blood of Jesus Christ dying on the cross that you can have peace with God. That's what He's saying. And much more, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. There is coming a day when God's wrath will be poured out on all people who choose to reject Jesus Christ and not be washed in the blood of Christ, not experience the love of God. And they'll be cast into a Christless eternity in hell. Revelation 20 says the books were open and another book was open, and all of those who were written in the books, they were gathered together at the great white throne, and they will be judged for all eternity, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire which burns forever and ever. But those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, all of their wrath and punishment that they deserved, Isaiah 53 says it pleased the Father to put all of those on His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what happened. You're no longer going to be punished or judged because Christ took your punishment. He took your judgment. Now you are free from the law of sin and death. So as we approach this table, we then begin to see just how important His body and His blood are. As we come to this table to remember. And listen, this is what the body and blood of Jesus Christ has done for all of us who are born-again believers this morning. Ephesians 2:13 says, we have been brought near to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? We can be drawn near to God because God's Son shed His blood in a violent way to open up the door to make access possible that we can draw near to the Creator of heaven and earth. And do you realize you can draw near to Him anywhere and everywhere? He is that close to you. What a wonderful thing. And it happened because of the violent, bloody death of Jesus Christ that opened the way. Hebrews 10:19 adds, we have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. No other way that you can have communion with God. No other way that you can have access to God. No other way that you can be near to God except for the violent, bloody death of His Son that opened the way and made that possible. Remember that when we come to the table. Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:14 says, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. You have been bought back, and the price was the body and blood of Jesus Christ. He paid the ultimate price for you to buy you back, to redeem you, and to offer forgiveness for every sin that you've ever committed in the past, every sin that you're entertaining today, and every sin you will ever commit have all been put behind the back of God and never seen again. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we became the righteousness of God in Him. Psalm 103 says that He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. They never connect. And it was through the blood of Jesus Christ that your sins have been forgiven. No other way. No other way. Hebrews 13:12 says that we are sanctified. We are set apart by the blood of Jesus Christ who suffered outside the gate. We are set apart for holiness and for righteousness because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are set apart from this dark, dying, decaying world. We are the light. We are Lighthouse Bible Church. We are to be that light to this world as they see Jesus Christ, the hope of glory in us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We are to be that light. We are to be separate from the world. You are to be that living epistle that people can read and see Jesus Christ. Are you that? And then if you are, you are to share that hope of glory that you have. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us to be reconciled to Him. It is a bloody, violent message of love that you are to share. Unfortunately, a lot of people want to water that message down. They don't want to talk about sin. They don't want to talk about blood. They don't want to talk about Christ dying on a cross. That's just too cruel. That's just too violent. But that's the truth, as we have seen over and over again. That's the message we share. We speak the truth in love. We share the gospel message in such a way that people understand that God is holy and we are sinful and our sin must be judged and punished and the wages of our sin is death. But God demonstrated His own love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And His death was on a cruel cross where He was tortured and He bled all over and He died. But as His life blood was leaving His body at that very moment, God was satisfied with that sacrifice and opened up the way for us to have our sins atoned for by that very blood. That's why 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Revelation 1:5 adds, "To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." Have you had that done in your life? Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus? For people, that's an odd thing when they think about the physical blood. It's not the physical blood. It's the sacrifice that Christ made in the shedding of His blood, the atoning sacrifice for us that cleanses us from all sin. Jesus told His disciples in Matthew 26:28, "This is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins." And by the way, that same blood that Jesus Christ shed, He had already been planning His church to spread this message until He comes back. Do you realize that? In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says, "Shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with" what? "With His own blood." We are here today and we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We come to this table. We open up the Word of God because Christ made the way possible through the shedding of His blood. So when we come to this table, we're commanded to eat this bread and to drink this cup. And when we do so, we remember His great love in the giving of Himself, in a very violent shedding of His blood, so that we could proclaim His death until He comes back. So we're going to approach this table. And as we do, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The passage, it should be familiar to you, starting in verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same manner, He took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me.'" This is what we're doing as we approach this table this morning. We are remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us. Remembering that through the shedding of His blood, Through the giving of His body, we have been brought near to God. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've had all of our sins forgiven because of His shed blood. We are set apart for holiness and righteousness because of His shed blood. He cleanses us and washes us from all sin in His own blood. He purchased us and He purchased this church that He formed through His own shed blood. And as we approach this table, remembering all that we remember in our own lives and collectively together, we are called, first of all, to preface that with a self-examination. It's so, so important as we approach this table. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. We don't want that to be the case with anybody who partakes of that here this morning or any time that we do this. It is so, so important. He says you will be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. The judgment of God that sent His Son to die a bloody, cruel death. His divine judgment, if we eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. So He says this in verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That's why we take the time in silent reflection and prayer and confession so we can have our hearts rightly prepared that we would not partake in an unworthy manner. However that may play out in any one of our lives. It could be the entertaining of sin in your own heart and life. It could be any number of things. That's why we have this time to give you a chance to examine your own heart and life. To see where things are at. And this is why, verse 29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We love you too much to let you partake of this in an unworthy manner. That's why we preface this as often as we do, to help you to come to the place that you are rightly prepared. As much as we can be humanly possible, in our confession, in our reflection, in our self-examination, so we would not do this in an unworthy manner. And this is another reason why, verse 30. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many have died, many sleep, many have died. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is He not? What He judged these Corinthians for is no different than how He would judge today. But maybe in His grace He spares us. But He has every right, if we approach this table in an unworthy manner, to do anything He wants to us. It could be a sickness. It could be a weakness. We could even be taken in death so we don't blaspheme the name of Christ any longer. However He chooses to exercise His grace in our life is up to Him. He says, I don't want to have to do that to you. And so because of that, I want you to examine yourself so that I don't have to judge you, so that you can judge yourself, so you can examine yourself to see if these things are so in your life. So as we have that self-examination, it starts with this. It starts with an examination of our spiritual condition before God. That's why this table is only for believers. Because only believers are called to remember what Christ has done for us. No unbeliever can do that because they don't have anything to remember. If you're here this morning as an unbeliever, or if you don't know if you're born again or not, if you've never been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, don't partake of this. We don't want you to be judged for partaking in an unworthy manner. And there's no more unworthy manner than for an unbeliever to partake of this. That's blasphemy. Let it pass you by if you don't know for sure. No one's going to judge you or say anything against you. It's just what you need to do. This is the table for those who are born-again believers to remember. And I say that in all love to you. We want you to become a born-again believer. We want you to experience what all of us have experienced here. We're born again. We have hope. We have a future. It's the love of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. We still sin. We still fail miserably from time to time. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from that sin. We stand justified and perfect before God. And someday we will realize the fullness of our salvation when Christ comes back or when we die. We're not perfect, but we have a hope and a future that you don't have because you don't believe. You've never been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So let this cup pass by you. And we say that in all love to you. We want you to become a born-again believer. We want you to recognize your sin. We want you to recognize the holiness of God. We want you to recognize that God so loved you that He sent His Son to die. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And He becomes the resurrection and the life. And no man can come to the Father apart from Christ. We want you to experience that. And if in the quietness of your heart, God is speaking to you now about your need to repent of your sin and put your trust in Christ, you come and talk to me or Mike or anybody else here. And we will show you from the Scripture how you can know salvation that many experience here as born-again believers. Just because somebody comes to church or even attends church on a regular basis doesn't necessarily mean that they're a born-again believer. You partake of this table because you have truly been born again. We don't want you to partake in an unworthy manner in partaking of the judgment of God. So we stop and we examine ourselves to see where we're at spiritually in our relationship with God. If you are here as a born-again believer, we encourage you to partake here. Because it's that private communion time that you have with God that you can remember once again all that He did for you to bring you to the place of salvation and forgiveness. But you are also called to examine yourself. Examine your own heart. And that's why we take the time also for believers to confess their sin, to repent of those things. If you have something against somebody, Christ said, leave your gift at the altar, go your way, reconcile, and then come back and worship Him. If that's the case with you, let the cup pass by. Don't partake in an unworthy manner of some unconfessed sin, something that you are still dealing with that has to be dealt with. Let it pass by. You don't want to partake of the cup in an unworthy manner, the bread in an unworthy manner. You don't want to bring about the judgment of God on you, however that may play out, whether it's in His grace that you never experience anything until the day you die, or whether it's in His divine chastening of you, as 1 Corinthians 11 goes on to say, because whom the Lord loves, He what? He chastens. He loves us enough not to let us go. So there's that time of quiet self-reflection and prayer and confession that we all need as we spend time together. Confess those things. And when you do that, if we confess our sins, what does the Bible say? He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why we can approach this table. None of us is worthy in and of ourselves. But through Christ and His righteousness, we are. As we confess that sin, as we approach the table, we can do that as it's meant to be. So what I want to do is I want to just pause for just a minute, and in the quietness of your own heart, let's just have a time of reflection and confession and prayer and repentance before we approach the table. Thank you for the bread and the cup in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the men to come forward who are going to be serving.